In chapter 13, many of you may have heard of Jesus washing his disciples' feet, right? So again, it opens up, and it's close to this Passover, and we all know that Jesus loves a party by now, right? This is like the third or fourth Passover mentioned within John, and Jesus loves a party. So they're all sitting around, they're all gathered around. Can we read it? If you need a Bible, we want to give you one. We have Bibles to give you. If you are too shy to grab a free Bible, then download one onto your phone. Deal? If you're not reading the Bible, you're starving yourself to death. Deal? Okay, we're going to read this. You ready? It's kind of long. It's 30 verses. Here we go. It says this: Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, The one who is bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you, for he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, Not all of you are clean. Verse 12, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking to all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at the table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him, to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, It is the one whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. So when I have dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas. When he dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon the Iscariot. Then, after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, What you were going to do, do quickly. Now, no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him to buy what we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he, Judas, immediately went out, and it was night. What a crazy party. Has anybody had a party where you just started washing your people's feet? Really? You hang out in some wild places. Nobody's had that kind of a party? Nobody's had that kind of experience? What's that? You've washed people's feet before? It's not necessarily a party, but you've done it. Yeah? So we see this party. We see Jesus at this Passover dinner, this feast, and it's the night of his betrayal. This is a big pivotal moment in Jesus' ministry, just as he closed his ministry out. In the last chapter, in chapter 12, we see this betrayal of Judas, and we've kind of gotten glimpses of Judas, and we've kind of known the story through prophecy of someone was going to betray the Messiah, someone was going to betray him. So it finally happens at this Passover feast, at this party. But prior to the betrayal, early on it says, you know, Satan had put it in Judas's mind. And at that time, that's when Jesus stands up and starts taking his clothes off, which I'll spare you the object lesson. You're welcome. This is a tough room. Nobody's laughing about anything. This is just, I'm not that funny. It's good. It's good. So Jesus gets up and he disrobes, and what Jesus is essentially dressed in then is his underrobe. And he's got a towel wrapped around him, and what that image is very reminiscent of a servant. That's something that a servant attire would be. That's something that a slave would wear in a house, serving these people. So with the knowledge of Judas betraying him this evening, the night of the Passover, he gets up, takes his clothes off, looks like a servant, looks like a slave. And he begins to wash people's feet. All the disciples in the room, including the feet of Judas, whom he knows is about to betray him to his death. He gets to Peter, who, I like Peter, he's a lot like me. He just shoots his mouth off first and then gets kind of the verbal spanking from Jesus later. That's me. I'm kind of like Peter in that regard. He gets to Peter, and Peter is looking at Jesus and seeing him looking like this slave person. And Peter cannot handle it. This guy I'm following, this master, this rabbi, this teacher, is walking around looking like a slave, washing our feet. No. No, Jesus, you're not going to be doing that. And Jesus says, if I don't, you don't have any part in me. You don't understand what I'm doing here. You have no part in me if this doesn't happen, if this doesn't take place. And Peter's missing the point. Peter's missing the boat. Peter's missing everything that's going on in this beautiful object. Listen. And in his pride and in his arrogance and missing the boat, well, then give me a whole bath. Wash all of me then. Jesus said, no. No, you've had a bath. You're clean. You're fine. But your feet are dirty. And so these feet that you're seeing here, they look way too clean, don't they? A little too clean. I told her I wanted like the old man feet. Any old men in the room, I'm sorry, but their toenails are like really long and like curved over. Like 3 inches thick, fungus growing within them. Old man, you don't have to let yourself go like that. It's okay, all right? That's the kind of feet I told her I wanted. But so think back in the day, there's sandals, there's dirt, they're walking all over the place. They don't have a house. They meet in these rooms, they meet in anywhere they can, but they're walking around in dirt with sandals, and their feet are filthy. There's got to be dirt crammed up in their toenails. Got to be dust all over their feet. And Jesus says, let me get that for you. Let me clean your feet. Not pretty feet like this. I don't know if those are pretty. They're pretty hairy, actually. They're pretty hairy. Yeah. So Jesus starts cleaning these funky, nasty feet. And Peter is missing the boat. And then he allows Jesus to wash his feet. But Peter just can't stand the fact that his master is washing his feet. After this, you see the betrayal happen of Judas. After this, you see Jesus just foreshadowing and talking about his death. One of you are going to betray me, one of you in this very room. And that happens to be Judas. And Judas, just like Jesus gave these people chance after chance after chance after chance after chance after chance, I believe Judas is given a chance up until this very last moment where Jesus dips the bread and he gives it to Judas, and Judas has an option to whether he reaches out and takes that bread or not. But Judas has already had it put in his heart. Earlier we read of Satan putting that thought, putting that idea, putting that, you know, I'm going to go do this. In other words, in Scripture, in Matthew and Mark and in those places, they account and they talk to him. They talk about Judas as going and talking to the officials who want to kill him and kind of negotiating price and this kind of thing with these people of, yeah, well, how much, say I rat him out, how much would you give me for that? And up until the point where Jesus dips the bread and holds it out to Judas, Judas has this beautiful chance to just say, no, I'm not going to do this. But Judas takes the bread and eats it. And Jesus tells him, go do what you were going to do and do it quickly. And what's funny is the disciples, I think it was a large room and not everybody was sitting so close to Jesus, only those that were probably on his right and his left only really heard what was going on, because the rest of the disciples were like, what's going on? Where's Judas going? He's going to go buy some food, I hope. Get some Cheetos, Judas! They ate those back then, I think. Or he was going to go give money to the poor. And so you have this really weird story of feet washing and betrayals of Jesus, and what do we do with it? There's so much stuff we could talk. We could talk about just specifically betraying Jesus. We could talk about just specifically to the oddity of washing feet, but we're going to try to talk about all of it today. Can we do that? This may not be a 20-minute teaching. It's not Mother's Day, so it doesn't matter. So Peter is just enraged by the thought that somebody would wash his feet. And Peter is somebody that knows Jesus but doesn't know Jesus. Peter is somebody that's walked with Jesus and understood Jesus and has been taught by Jesus and doesn't get it. Because he's got so much pride within himself that this whole idea of Jesus being a servant to man doesn't jive with him. And Jesus has this deep connection with God. He's got this incredible connection with God that he only does what God asks of him to do and only speaks what God asks of him to say. And then you see this foot washing happening, this very weird and intimate practice. And so it comes from God above. It comes from God through Jesus to these guys in this room. And you see God's love on display because he's not only washing Peter's feet, who is just totally prideful. You're not washing my feet. You ain't touching my feet. To Judas, who is going to just sell him out to go be slaughtered, to be destroyed. And that is so scandalous. Do you guys understand that? Do you understand the grace that is exhibited in that act? It's very weird. It's very intimate. I too, was a part of a foot washing once. It was weird as I was preparing this teaching. It shot my mind to when I was, I don't know, junior high school mom. When did we go to Tahoe, Lake Tahoe, for the family reunion? Speak. You don't remember the year. So let's just say it was like 1996. Good year, right? According to Prince, it was 1999, but I was too old then. So, my family has a hard time on a Sunday morning not going to church if they go somewhere. And not just my family, but the entire Coop side of the family. If you go out of town on a vacation, we're getting out the phone book. Not me. I haven't set this practice. I have stopped it. It stops with me. But we open the phone book and we try to find a church where we're going to go to church on Sunday morning. And so in Lake Tahoe, we do the same thing, but then we thought, you know, we can probably just have a church service here because the Coop family is packed with tons of pastors in it. So, well, somebody just get up and preach. So I remember we went and we bought communion supplies. It was actual bread and juice, and I think we were even dipping it in the communion juice, which was a first for me because I had never been a part of something like that. But I remember sitting by as this young high school kid and thinking, I can't remember who started it, one of the uncles, it was either Tim or Rich. And they start with my grandfather, who's a pastor. At that point, he's retired. At that point, he's old. He's elderly. He had the funky old man feet. No joke. And I remember he started with my grandfather, and they started going through this verse, and they started talking about being servants of men and being servants of women and serving those who are around. And he grabs this basin, and he I think he even, I don't know if we had soap or anything, but we had water and we had a towel, and he starts. And the expectation then was that our family was going to wash each other's feet. And as a kid, I'm like, this is gross. This is not cool. I could be doing so many other things on my vacation right now than washing people's feet. And I remember it starts going around the room, and I can't even remember which one of my family members washed my feet. And it was so intimate and so odd. I remember just crying. I had no other. My tears superseded this weird act, this odd happening within my family. And it just broke me that we were doing this for one another. It broke me that this is what the kingdom should look like. And it was so intimate, but not only is it intimate with one another, it's intimate with God, because God is the one that spoke this to Jesus. Jesus is the one that carried it through with his disciples and taught a lesson through it. And so this intimacy with God, this going beyond the surface, going beyond just, I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus. When we get to this level of actually hearing from God and carrying out what he does, this changes us. And it demands change. It doesn't allow us to be indifferent. It doesn't allow us to say, you know, that was good for Jesus, but I deserve better. And so Jesus has this incredible connection with God, and I don't think that that's anything that's beyond us and our relationship with God. That's attainable for us. We can have that today. We can speak the things that God gives us to speak. We can act the actions that God gives us to act. We can love the way God calls us to love. And that comes from just being deep-rooted in Jesus, being deep-rooted in what God has called us to, and that's his life in Jesus. But know that there's people that are like Judas. They're going to receive the good news, that are going to receive this message, that are going to receive the same beautiful thing that we all get through Jesus. The same beautiful life is offered to everyone. And we have a choice. We have a choice to follow, or we have a choice to completely reject and completely just put Jesus down and say, no, that's not for me. I'm not going to do this. We have a choice not to accept the scandalous grace that Jesus offers. But not only that, we have a choice to just not do what Jesus says and not wash people's feet. Like Peter, well, I'm not doing that. Then you have no part in me. If you're not going to do what I'm asking you to do, what has come from the Father, if you're not going to do those things, you have no part in me. You can't claim me. You can't claim that I'm Lord of your life if you choose to not follow what I've asked you to do. It's kind of harsh words, isn't it, from Jesus? My way or the highway? As a parent, I get familiar with saying that. Why do I have to do this? Because I said. But Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says, because it betters humanity. You do these things because it shows my love to people. You do these things because I've shown my love to you. You do as I do because you are my plan for humanity. You literally love people into the kingdom. That's a scary thought, isn't it? And so this intimacy is cultivated within us as we listen to Jesus' words, as we say yes to Jesus. This intimacy with God is cultivated in us when we start saying, you know what, I understand that my way sucks and isn't all that beneficial to me, so what does Jesus have to say on the matter in my life? One of the most frustrating things as a pastor is when people come into my office and try to argue their point of reference that is not scriptural, that doesn't reflect Jesus, and they want to know how to fix their life. Well, you could start doing what Jesus said. No? Okay. I have nothing else for you. But this intimacy is cultivated when we start taking Jesus seriously and start doing what he's asking us to do, including foot washing that he's advocated to his disciples. Now, that doesn't mean his disciples hit the streets and just say, hey, let me wash those for you. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus came to serve. Jesus came to love. Jesus came to save. And again, this is kind of the same message as last week. We have an opportunity to accept that or reject that. And I'm praying for you up until the point where you actually have the choice to take this bread from Jesus' hands and say, no, Jesus, you're not the it. I'm going to sell you out. I'm praying for you that don't care enough for Jesus at this point in your life. I'm praying for you Peters out there, just like myself, who, God, you ain't doing that for me. Who have this will that needs to be broken, this pride that needs to be broken, that says another way than what Jesus is offering. I'm praying for you too. God, I'm not going to wash feet. God, I know you asked me to forgive people, but I'm not going to do that. God, I know you asked me to have reconciliation with some family members that are tough, but I'm not picking up the phone. God, I know you asked me to be a servant of mankind, but I'm really busy and I don't have time for that. Those are the things I'm praying against for you. That you'll allow Jesus to wash your feet, that you'll allow Jesus to love you, that you will allow Jesus to speak to you, that you will then become obedient and deepen these roots within Christ. That you will begin to hear, just like Jesus did from God, you know what, this is how you serve, this is how you teach this, this is how you own this, this is how you become a servant of man and spread my love and my grace and my mercy and my mission. Those are the things I pray for you, Whitewater. Those are the things I pray for you graduates that are leaving. Those are the things that I pray for you high school kids that are going on to college. Those are the things that I pray for you, Laramie. Be taught by Jesus, by what he says, by what he does, by what he lives, and then live that out. God, we love you. We thank you just for how you work and how you move and how you desire us to do the same thing and how you desire us to be a part of your kingdom. So much so that these crazy things that you've displayed within your disciples and within us, God, they look crazy on the surface, but it's not just Jesus going off on his own. It's direct orders from God. It's direct conversation with God that's bringing these things about. It brings about this intimate practice of washing people's feet. God, but teaching us that it's because we serve you, we serve others, and that's the whole point. God, for those of us playing the game and claiming the name of Jesus but not living it, Father, I ask for a shake-up in their world just like you shook me up. God, I ask for a shake-up in their world that makes them have sight. That shows them who they are and where they stand with you. Father, that you would become the owner of their schedule, that you would become the owner of their movements, their actions, their speech, their love, their mercy, and their grace. God, and for those that are on the verge of just totally flat out rejecting you, I pray against that with everything I have. Father, open eyes of the people here in this auditorium this morning, God. Open eyes of their family members who have rejected you, who have continued to reject you. Just as Jesus dipped the bread and handed it to Judas, and he had a choice, Father, I pray that these people choose to not accept that bread. That their decision would be to follow Jesus and to love him with everything they have. That they would become world changers, that they would become life changers as they live out what you have for them for the rest of their years. God, thank you for sending a servant like Jesus who served humbly, who loved fiercely. Who died so generously. Who rose victoriously. God, thank you for your message of grace and mercy. We love you. It's your name we pray. Everybody said.